Starting a new series on grace. Yeah, grace all over the place. It's a good thing. Maybe you've heard this before. On your knees. I want to see you beg for mercy. You ever seen a movie like that? Like our TV show? Usually someone's holding like a gun or something, right? On your knees. Or maybe he's holding some information about you that you know if it got released, if everyone else learned about it, you'd be in a lot of trouble. Or basically, it's just someone who carried some level of power over you. See, there have been times where if I've even felt that in my life. And you probably, the more I talk about it, you'll be able to identify with it as well. See, I've either said something or I did something wrong, and I was scared to face the consequences. I knew something was coming, and I was really nervous. Sometimes it's been about other people in my life. Other people in my life have done something they shouldn't have or said something they shouldn't have. And there was something coming soon. And I was literally scared for them. I almost wanted to get in front. I wanted to do anything I could to stop the bad things from happening to them. I literally wanted to get in the way. You ever been in that place before? These, our lives are full of times that sometimes seem pretty desperate. We need help and we need it now. And sometimes it takes a lot to bring people to their knees. Have you noticed? Some people are pretty stubborn. A lot of pride. Matter of fact, some people are so stubborn, they'd rather die than ask for help. They'd rather die than beg for mercy. They'd rather die than for the pain to end. Well, what is mercy? What is mercy? Mercy is defined as compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone by someone in power. Instead of giving a punishment or giving harm, they remove that. Matter of fact, in order for there to be mercy, there has to be two things. Two things. If you don't have both, you don't have mercy. You need someone who needs compassion or forgiveness. Right? Someone needs it. You have to have the other part, though. You have to have someone who is in power, who is willing and is able to give it. Right? It's interesting. The word mercy, if you look in the Hebrew, when the Bible was written, it actually is the word for being in pain. Matter of fact, they link it to a woman in childbirth. Or they link it to someone who's literally sobbing, crying uncontrollably. That's the word where mercy comes from. It means that a merciful man must be someone who can feel the pain of that person, who can literally be driven to compassion for that person. I mean, the Bible is very clear when it comes to mercy. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. You can write it down. I'm going to have the scriptures behind me as well, so you can read them. Matthew 5, 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Matter of fact, one of my all-time favorite movies, it's a movie called Gladiator. Yeah, it's a total guy movie. As soon as I said it, the guys kind of peeked at me and they started nodding. You know, they didn't want their wives to see it. They're just kind of like, yeah, you know, a little thumb up there. There's a scene in the movie where there's two gladiators. They're fighting to the death. One of them wins. Then the crowd either begins to cheer or to boo. They're doing both. Why? Well, they're trying to influence the emperor, the guy who's in charge. Because they know the emperor right there is going to decide whether or not that gladiator lives or dies. Wait a minute, what do you mean? He won. Yeah, but was he entertaining enough? Did he put on a good show? Do they want to see this gentleman fight again? So either they cheer really loud or they boo. Because the emperor's either going to give a thumb up or a thumbs down. Thumbs up, you get to live another day to fight. Thumbs down, that was your last fight. See, grace is different than mercy. Grace is defined as the free and unmerited favor of God. It's shown in the salvation of sinners and the giving of blessings. Matter of fact, if you were to look at my gladiator example, the emperor wouldn't just spare your life. The punishment is death. You're a slave. You're a gladiator. And it wouldn't be him just saving your life. It would be literally the emperor giving him something. Maybe he's giving him his freedom. Maybe he gives him power. Maybe he gives him riches. Maybe he gives him a position. Maybe he gives him his own home. See, mercy stops bad things from happening in your life. That's what mercy does. Whether it's deserved or undeserved, that's how you can get mercy. But see, grace gives blessings that are completely undeserved. They're completely unearned. Today, I'm going to look at a Bible story that is all about mercy and grace. Some of you have heard this story. Some of you haven't. Focus on this, especially if you've heard this before. Because sometimes when I teach on things you've heard before, you tune me out. Don't. There's things in here that you need. So turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. We're going to spend the rest of our time in this chapter. Like I said, I'll have it behind. You can read along with me. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them." Give me my share. It's actually an interesting statement from the younger son. And I know I've taught on this before. See, in Bible times, inheritance was passed on to the children at the death of the father, or literally at the point of death. He was about to die, and he would pass on his inheritance. So this was not his share yet. It wasn't. In other words, what the son was saying is, I want my inheritance now. And you haven't died yet, or matter of fact, you're probably not even about to die. But I don't want to wait until the proper time. So give me my share anyway. I want it now. It kind of begs the question. Was the father merciful to the son when he gave the inheritance early? I mean, do you think the father had any idea what that son was going to do with his inheritance? Look, I'm a dad, and most fathers, we understand our sons well enough to know what they do or how trustworthy they are when they have more than enough. Fathers, we figure this out after a long period of time. We've seen their track record. We have got a good idea what will happen when a child has more than what they need. Matter of fact, we used to, when the kids were much younger, when we would go to the Durham Fair, it was a big event in our family. I remember one year, we gave each of our kids $20. And some of them, they were pretty young at the time, and their eyes got huge. They got to hold the money. They had $20 each. Now, some of my kids, I mean, it was like, it was burning a hole in their pocket. I mean, literally their pocket was on fire. The first thing they saw, this is some of my kids, the first thing they saw, they bought. I want this, boom, boom, boom. Within like 15, 20 minutes, all their money's gone. Now, some of my other kids, because I have four, some of my other kids, they were almost like bargain shopping. You know, they're kind of looking around, you know, all right, hot dog's $4 here, but it's $3.50 here. You know, I mean, they were kind of, I mean, I was proud. I have to admit, I'm a dad, I was proud. And so they kind of managed their money well, but they spent it all. You know, they did. One of my kids actually had change. They didn't spend all their money. It's like almost like they felt guilty. Like, you know, I can't spend all. I mean, I at least got to give dad something back. I won't tell you which one was which, you know. I'll leave that for you. But so he divided his property between them. That's what the Bible says, right? He did it. It wasn't his, look, it was his choice. He didn't have to. This was not a requirement. But why did he do it? I mean, was there mercy or grace involved? I mean, I guess you could probably make an argument for grace, right? I mean, the father was definitely giving something that his son had not earned. This was undeserved. Matter of fact, your inheritance was based on you serving your parents for your life, basically until they died. And then when they die, that's when you get the inheritance. So he hasn't earned it yet. Verse 13. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. Squandered his wealth in wild living. So I guess we have the first part of mercy. Remember my definition of mercy? You need to have someone who is in need, needs compassion or forgiveness. Well, we saw how he treated his dad. Dad, I'm going to pretend like you're dead. Give me my money. Now I'm going to take all my money. I'm going to go to another country, and I'm going to blow it all on wild living. I'll leave you to your own imagination of what wild living is. It probably is that. So he definitely needs forgiveness, right? Just on how he treated dad. Plus, now he's broke. He's hungry. He finds himself in need. I mean, when you blow everything you have, what do? So he needs compassion and he needs forgiveness, right? Okay. Now, just before you get kind of self-righteous in this, I mean, sometimes I think we look at the two different sons, we look at one of them, we're like, I'm not like that one at all. I would never do that. But let's look in a mirror first. Let's take a look at ourselves. How many of us have ever gone to God and demanded something now? Demanded it. God, I want this now. We didn't care about God's timing. We just wanted something, or we wanted to do something, and we wanted to do it now. It had nothing to do with God's plan. It was our plan. No patience at all, just entitlement. We want this now. And look, it may have been a promise that God had promised you, right? He may have said, one day I'm going to give you this. One day you're going to be able to do this. We just got tired of waiting. Maybe God promised you a spouse. But you want it now. Maybe God promised that one day you'll own your own home. But I want it now. Maybe God promised you some children. But you want them now. I want them right now. I don't want to wait anymore. I want them now. Look, there are a lot of promises that God promises us, and they're good promises. I mean, the inheritance was the younger son's, right? At the proper time, he was going to get it all. All of it. Well, why not now? Well, probably because the father, or God, you know, in our example, just didn't think we were ready for it yet. Or it just wasn't his timing. So we don't wait on God's timing, right? We marry either too soon or to the wrong person, and we pay the price later, don't we? Or we buy the wrong home or not at the right time, maybe too soon, and it cripples us financially. Or we have a child too soon, and it damages our marriage. It hurts our other relationships. all because we want it now. So we might have a little bit more in common with that son than we want to admit. Or how about this? How many of us have squandered God's inheritance? We kind of use, you know, the words from the Bible. How many of us do you think may have, you know, kind of blew or spent God's inheritance? I mean, what I mean is, how many times have we taken the resources that God has given us and wasted them on things that we had no business wasting them on? Money on things that we did not have his permission for. His time on things that we did not have his permission for. His talents on things that we did not have permission for. Anything that we have, that we used without having his permission. Well, Pastor, wait a minute. Time out. Pastor, are you saying that we have to have God's permission to do anything? Well, I guess it depends on how you see the money, the time, the talents, or anything else. Do you see that as God's or yours? That kind of, you know, right? And do you know that the excuse of, I didn't think I had to ask God. Do you know what that really is saying? I don't want to ask God. Well, why? Because I'm scared of what he might say, of course. I mean, because what if God didn't say to spend, or what if God said, no, don't spend your money there, or no, do not use your time there. Do not get involved in that. See, we think it's kind of easier to just do it and deal with the consequences later, you know? I don't have to ask God. Let me just do it, and then, you know, hopefully it was God, and so I won't get in any trouble, you know? But if it wasn't God, all right, well, I'll deal with it later. You know who tends to live their life that way? Parents, you know the answer, don't you? Parents, who live their life that way? Children. Children do, right? See, children live for the moment, no matter what the consequences are. Don't we spend most of our time as parents teaching our kids that, no, don't make that, think that through. Ask me first. Don't do that, because later you're going to pay for it. Anyone here still think that you can't identify with the younger son? Anyone? Okay. All right, verse 15. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. Hired himself out to a citizen of that country. You know, he actually receives mercy here. This is mercy. I mean, look, there's no reason for someone from another country to give a job to a foreigner. Look, he has no family there. He has no friends left because all the money's gone. And what was his reputation in that country? Yeah, wild living. Is that the people employers are looking for? Yes, you're the character guy I've been looking for. Come work on my farm. So that was mercy, right? Okay. Have you noticed that when we feed our flesh, we usually end up in places that we never wanted to be? You notice that? I mean, so here we have a son from a good family with more than enough. I mean, he was doing well back home. Now he's forced to live day by day in a country that's not even his. Verse 16, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. No one gave him anything. So the merciful job that he got, it wasn't even enough where he could buy some of the slop that the pigs were eating. I mean, he must have figured this out. All right, the job may have saved me from immediately starving to death, but look, if I'm in this position for much longer, what's going to eventually happen? I'm going to die. There's no way that I'm going to be able to survive doing what I'm doing. But isn't that what the world offers us? Pig slop. It does. See, it lowers our standards so much where we actually begin to desire pig slop. We get to the point where pig slop not only sounds great, we want to fill our stomachs on it. Look, the enemy has promised us so much, but he delivers so little. Have you noticed that? Too many of us have believed his lies. See, we end up living so far below what God has intended us to live. Look, part of our job as followers of Jesus is to not only remind those who've never heard about what God can offer, but to remind those who have heard but are living so far below what God has promised them. Verse 17. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'll set out and I'll go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So when he came to his senses, aren't you glad that a lot of us can say those words? Yes. That we said those words? Amen. To be honest, I spend a lot of my time worried about the people who have not yet said those words. People that I love, people that I have invested in, who've not come to their senses yet. See, when you come to your senses, it's finally when you kill the pride, right? And instead realize that what I'm doing is wrong, or what I did was wrong. There has to be a better way. That's why we spend time building relationships with people who don't follow Jesus. Why? Because we're waiting for when they come to their senses. When they do, that's when we point them to Jesus, right? They're going to get there. My father's hired servants have food to spare. That's actually a really sad statement. It really is, if you think about it. Even though he's a son, he's only willing to compare himself to a servant. He's a son. See, the impact that sin and failure have on people, it causes them to forget who they are. They lower their expectations on what they can have. It makes us, how many of us do that in our relationship with God? Look, grace is unearned, undeserved kindness and blessing. It's undeserved. How many of us approach God this way when things fall apart in our life? We forget we're children of the King. Make me like one of your hired servants. See, the son doesn't even ask for grace, does he? He asks for mercy. Just give me mercy. He just hopes his dad won't make him starve to death. That's what he's hoping. Look, his grand plan now is, I want to live the rest of my life as a servant to my dad. And then when my dad dies, I'll just live as a servant to my older brother. At least I won't starve to death. That's his grand plan now. Verse 20. So he got up, went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. So when he got up and went to his father, see, it's hard to receive grace and mercy when you're not around the person that you need the grace and mercy from. See, the only way that you can position yourself for God to do something in your life is to get up and go to the Father. Look, stop hiding in the pig pen. It's dirty. It stinks. People, look, pig pens are made for flesh to die. They're not made to live in. They're there for a purpose. It's not for living. It's for dying. Look, stop settling for less than God's best. Pig slop, guess what? It tastes like pig slop. It does. See, why eat that when you can live in the Father's house? Look, and stop just hoping that someone's going to come get you. It was your decisions that got you there. Swallow your pride. Get up and go home. Look, are there times where God's going to come after you like the good shepherd? There are. He will. Sometimes he does. But you know what I've learned in my life? Most often, God wants me and expects me to swallow my pride, get up, and go home. Look, God does not control you. God's not going to force you to come home. Why? Because guess what happens when you're forced home? What are you going to do a few days later? You're going to run right off again. Just remember, you have a Father that longs to see you. He wants you to return home. As a matter of fact, I love this picture. He's constantly scanning the distance, looking to see if you're coming home. He wants you to come to your senses. He wants to see their son come home. He longs to give you the grace and the mercy that you need. But he's not going to give it to you until you're ready to receive it. I love the filled with compassion. So we have the second ingredient, right? First ingredient of mercy was someone who needs it. Second ingredient is someone who has the power and is willing to give it. So we have Dad, whose heart is moved with compassion when he sees his son. He ran to his son. What a cool picture. You see, that's countercultural. See, in Bible times, the older did not run to the younger. That was just not how things were done. Especially if the younger was the one who was wrong. The younger was the one who was in sin. Look, the way it worked is you went to the older. I love it. Jesus just kind of breaks that whole process. He does. He shows just how much grace and mercy God has for those who are willing to admit they're in sin and they're willing to change. See, when we're willing to swallow our pride, get up and go home, you can expect to see a Father running to you with open arms. He's been waiting for that. Verse 21. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I'm no longer worthy. Still, the son is only looking for what? Mercy. He knows how far he's fallen. He sees no reason to have hope for anything else. Just let me have a full belly as a servant. That's all I need. Just don't make me starve to death, Dad. That's it. I don't want to starve. Have you noticed that most people don't need to be told when they're sinning? Most people know, right? See, they don't need judgment from you. You know what they need? They need love. They need mercy. They need grace. That's what they need. Verse 22. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. How cool. Quick. Let's have a feast and celebrate. See, we have underestimated the power of God's grace. We have. We fail to see that God is not just looking to save you from death. He's not. God is not looking for more servants. You know what he wants? Sons and daughters. God is looking for princes and princesses. He's a king. He wants to adopt you. He doesn't want to hire you. Big difference. See, Satan's desire is for you is to choose the path of... See, Satan wants you to choose the path of instant gratification. That's what he wants. He goes, you know, get what the world's offering. And whatever you can get, grab it. Grab it now. Because you know what? You shouldn't have to wait. Take it. It's yours. Grab whatever you can. That's what Satan wants you to do. Because Satan's hope is that once you've realized that you've fallen, he hopes you just get too stubborn, too prideful. He doesn't want you to get up and go back home. He wants you to stay home. Stay in the pen. But see, let's say even you get up and start walking home. You know what Satan's final hope is? Is that you see yourself as unworthy. He only wants you to look for mercy. That's all he wants you to do. He knows that if he can at least keep you as a servant, not a child of the king, then he knows that he can keep you crippled for the rest of your life. You're going to spend the rest of your life just wanting more. You spend your life just looking back and, well, what if I had only? What if I had only not done that? He wants you to live a life of guilt and regret for the rest of your life. That's what he wants. You'll never be worthy. That's why it's called grace. Undeserved, unearned. Look, God's desire is not for you just to avoid death. He came that you may have life. And live it to the full. I love that verse. This is in John 10. Put it, John 10, verse 10. That's the Bible. Memorize it. The thief. Who's the thief? Satan's after you. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and live it to the full. Not as a servant. Son and daughter. Prince and princess. So where are you at? Where are you at? Look, if you haven't realized it yet, we're all prodigals. We all are. We've all had times in our life that said, God, I want it now, and I'm not waiting. And you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm not even going to ask. There have been times in our life where we've taken what God has given us, our inheritance, and we've squandered it. Pastor, I didn't do anything with wild living. Did you do what he asked you to do? Well, I didn't ask him. Same thing. Same thing. And we wonder why we can't hear the voice of God. We wonder why we seem hungry, and yet everything that we're feasting on just doesn't seem to satisfy us. As a matter of fact, what does it taste like? Pig slop. Really? That's not the life you were designed to live. It's not. So I guess it's time for us to come to our senses. Isn't that what we read? It's time to swallow your pride, get up, and go home. Yeah, it's going to seem like an awkward journey. It is. Anytime you go get up, swallow pride, and start walking back home, it's going to seem a little awkward, right? It's going to seem a little really awkward when you see a father sprinting toward you with his arms open wide. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. And you start sobbing, and you're like, no. Unworthy. And I love the fact the father is ignoring him the whole time he's talking. He's like, no, just make me a servant. Just don't let me starve to death. I'm not worthy of anything. And the father's ignoring them. Best robe, ring for the finger, new shoes right now. It gets probably pretty awkward when you're like, what's that? Oh, that's a fatted calf being roasted in your honor. Because that's how much God's grace is. You. That's how powerful God's grace is to you. So you know what? If you're feasting on pig slop, stop. If you went back home to dad and you're living a servant Christian life, I don't deserve to get involved in those ministries. I'm unworthy. I can't work with youth. How can I serve youth if I have such a screwed up life? I can't. What am I going to tell them? I can't get involved. Pastor, I can't give a testimony. Pastor, I can't share Jesus with people out at my job because they're going to look at me and say, hey, you're a hypocrite. Hey, you've done all these bad things. We used to go bar hopping together. I can't talk to them about those things. You're not unworthy. Why? Because you've been washed by the blood of Jesus. And every time that you don't walk in that, what you're saying without really realizing it, you're saying that his sacrifice wasn't enough. You're saying that Jesus wasn't powerful enough to free you from all the sin in this world. He is. He is. Aren't you standing with me this morning?